following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. No matter what time you're listening or watching, welcome to New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez, kicking off 2 hours of godly counsel and wisdom for the shame you find yourself feeling, even if it's no fault of your own. Don't say you've given up hope until you call in to 1-800-229-3000 and put into practice the advice you're going to hear today. We've got licensed marriage and family therapist Dr. Jackie Mack Harris here. How are you, ma'am?
I am fine. How are you?
Doing well. And clinical psychologist Dr. Alice Benton is here as well. In fact, if I ever stop talking, she's got some words of wisdom to share with us. So take it away, Alice.
Finally. Tough story to share with you. A 6-year-old boy living in rural Kenya awoke one morning to find that he had been abandoned by his mother, his alcoholic, abusive father, and they had taken his 2 brothers with them, but left him. No explanation, no note. He did not see them again for years. This 6-year-old quickly became hungry and terrified. Yeah. He went to a nearby uncle who lived in the village, also struggled with alcoholism. His uncle wouldn't even give him a bite to eat, sent him away. And for the next 10 years, this young boy became an angry, suicidal teenager who had to beg and steal to survive. He was invited to a church service, really his first encounter with faith as an angry teenager. And he heard in the sermon that God loved him, had a plan for him, knew him, and still had a purpose for his life. Despite his anger, he had nothing to lose. And he decided to surrender his life to this God that he had not heard of before. And he learned to ask the question, what next, God? Through a series of surprising events, he was offered training and a job as a taxi driver, and he found he had a knack for it. He eventually built one of the most successful transportation businesses in Kenya, got married to a lovely woman, had 8 children. And then, as he asked God, now what next? He felt called to liquidate most of his business and invest the money in the street children of Kenya, because there are many who have been abandoned and orphaned. He and his wife have taken in over 62,000 children to this day, and they continue to work. His name is Dr. Charles Mully. And although his story is extreme, we've heard you, our callers, and how extreme your pain is, and how many of you have been abandoned, rejected, and felt suicidal because you lost a purpose in life or never felt like you had one. Well, as much as God loves Charles Mully and wanted to call him into God's adventure, he has the same calling on your life. It might not be to that scale, but he has a calling because he's given you gifts and talents and a purpose. And so often, the thing God calls us to comes out of our worst wounding. And so, especially in this holiday season, if you feel abandoned, if you feel like you don't have family or community or purpose, we want to help you take that next step through your pain to find out what purpose God still has for your life, because he does.
Wow. Jackie, any thoughts?
I just think that that is great, and I love that story of just resilience and how God can, he's a redeemer, and yeah, he redeemed even that awfulness that that kid experienced.
Yeah. That's so sad, but so beautiful at the end, too, and just the lesson we can all learn. What next, God? And it's a way to wake up in the morning, too, sometimes. Just say, what's going on today, Lord? Use me. Don't know what you got planned, but here I am. Send me. All right. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment and also read a question that was sent in online. Give us a call. We're going to be here for 2 hours today at 1-800-229-3000 with Drs. Alice Benton and Jackie Mack Harris. Can't wait to hear from you today on New Life Live.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I'm coming to you with an urgent need. If you've heard the callers on the show recently, you've heard the struggles that so many people are experiencing. There are many people that are in difficult relationships, difficult places in their lives. I want you to help New Life continue to offer hope for people's lives. We had some generous friends of New Life that started a matching gift, and every gift will be doubled up to $475,000. But it's urgent. The matching window closes December 31st, so don't wait. Every moment matters in recovery, healing, and restoration. Make your gift today by going to newlife.com, click on donate, or text the word match to 28950. You can also call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Together, we will bring hope and help to so many more people. And I want to say thank you in advance.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, here we go. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call. Brian Perez here with Drs. Jackie Mac-Harris and Alice Benton. And Jacqueline on the phone. We're going to get to you in just a moment. First, let me read a question that was submitted online. And the way you can submit your question online as an email or a voicemail is to go to newlife.com/radio. And you'll see all the instructions there. But here's what Rita wrote to us. Is it a good thing to take away our son's pet? As a consequence, here's the story. My 14-year-old son loves pets. He truly is a pet whisperer. He can at times spend more time with his pets than doing homework and other responsibilities that he needs to accomplish. My husband feels that an adequate consequence would be to get rid of his pets. With the latest incident, he wants to get rid of his pet Diamond Dove. Please advise how I should best support this type of situation. Man, Jackie, what would you say to Rita?
Well, I would say I'm sad that this is such a struggle, and it sounds like your son has a heart for animals. But I feel curious about the son and about other challenges he might have. I'm wondering if there is something going on that's preventing him from being able to focus on his homework or have a desire to do it. I met with someone yesterday who has a child who has ADHD, but the parents didn't really want to treat it with medicine, and so the kid is still struggling. They don't go to school, and when they are homeschooled, but they're struggling to get the homeschool work done because they have a neurological challenge, and they're not getting the help they need for it because of this limitation. And so I don't know that taking away his pet Diamond Dove is the answer. I think that is it feels like it's a punishment. It doesn't really seem to address the issue of his not getting his work done. Why isn't he getting his work done? Yeah. What else is going on?
Yeah. Alice?
I have found a rule of thumb about discipline really helpful, that to remove something that is a healthy activity or pursuit as a consequence is not our best route to take, but rather removing a luxury. And you might consider a pet a luxury, but if taking care of his pets is something he's good at and it draws responsibility out of him, when responsibility is the very thing you're worried about, and rightly so, it's not in his best interest that he prioritizes pets over the other things in his life. But I think that removing the pet would be removing one of his healthy pursuits, and trying other consequences before going to that extreme will probably have better benefit. It can be very traumatic for something so special to a child to be taken away, and it can cause a rupture that is difficult to repair between father and child. And because we want to protect that relationship, there are so many other ways to use discipline to counteract what your son is struggling with, in addition to the therapeutic approach that Jackie is talking about. So I could see that as a last resort, perhaps that might be necessary. But I think there are many steps to take before you get there, and I wouldn't recommend getting to that point. Perhaps saying if you will not take care of your other responsibilities, then the pet will stay with a friend for a week, and we're going to lose access to that pet. And now you can earn access back mm-hmm. by finishing your homework, by being respectful to your dad. And so I would use those strategies first. A family therapy session to bring out both, why is the dad so upset? What is he so worried will happen if his son doesn't get into line? Would also assist in coming up with alternative solutions that would be less traumatic and damaging to the relationship.
I agree with about the dad piece, right? Like, well, also, I'm curious what's going on with dad that this is so upsetting to him. Dad's yeah. probably concerned about something. And I wonder if there's something here that's also triggering dad from his own stuff. And maybe there's a respect issue. And so there now we have a power battle. And so I just think everybody, the family therapy idea, a session with a good Christian counselor to help them talk through the difficulties and figure out what is dad trying to teach son? Yeah. What is the main lesson? Because as you mentioned, the pets bring out responsibility. He's really good at that. Mm-hmm. Why would we choose to take that away?
Yeah.
Except for to punish him and make ourselves feel better, like now we've done something at least. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be some goal in whatever the consequence is. And if it's just to punish, then it won't teach.
I find that when handling our children's disobedience or disrespect, starting with parental humility, that we all have struggled in similar areas at some point. So it's not just you, the problem child. It's us, the problematic family. It's me, the sinner parent. It's all of us that struggle with these issues. So sharing stories about parental shortcomings and then making it a family issue. Let's pray about this. Let's family strategize. Let's have some discussions, set some goals, attempt some different consequences, and see how we all do with this in a week, in a couple of weeks. That approach versus you're the problem and I'm taking something away from you. Although I do believe in removing privileges. In our home, we remove screen privileges. We have timeouts. We have our children sit facing the wall for a set amount of minutes, usually their age. They lose dessert. They lose access to some bigger events that we go to. But we don't take away the things that are healthy and good for their character. Steve and I outline this in our book, Understanding and Loving Your Child in a Screen-Saturated World, about how to have these conversations yeah. and how to lay out appropriate consequences.
I think also how we love our kids could be helpful here too. Mm-hmm. So that's also available that you can pick up in our store.
Yeah. Newlife.com/store. Sit staring at the wall for the amount of for minutes. Man, I couldn't live in Alice's house. She would just like I'd be there for a long time. Let's just say that. All right, let's go to the phones. Rita, by the way, thank you for sending in your question. We pray that the advice that Alice and Jackie helps you guys, and we'd love to hear back from you. If you want to submit a question to us via email or voicemail, you can go to newlife.com/radio. But we like dialoguing with you, so call in and let's chat. Here is Jacqueline in Austin, Texas, who is watching us on YouTube. So let's wave hi to Jacqueline. How are you, Jacqueline? How can we help you?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm having an issue with my husband and my adult daughter who lives out of state. So they moved a couple of years ago, and every Christmas, around Christmas, I go to sit with the grandkids while my daughter and son-in-law go to a Christmas party for his work. And it's an overnight thing, and so I've been going the last couple of years, and this year it's been problematic, an issue about me going because my daughter and I had a bit of a conflict earlier in the year when I had asked her if it was okay if my husband came out with me this time to help with the kids, because there's four of them and the oldest one just turned 5, and so it's a lot, you know, even just overnight.
Yes. Four kids under 5. Yeah, that would be
give you a hands full.
Right, and I've been there a lot for them since they moved, and I've gone out for emergencies when my daughter got sick and different things. And so, you know, I've really tried to show how much I want to be there for them. But so My son-in-law, I had asked my son-in-law, would it be okay if my husband came along this time and we could stay at a hotel? He doesn't have to stay at their house, because there is a conflict there, you know, in the past with them not getting along. And so I didn't know that my son-in-law was sharing these text messages with my daughter, who was sitting there with him in the moment, which I wasn't saying anything bad or rude or anything, and I was perfectly fine with them saying, no, we don't want him to come. But just the idea, I guess, of me suggesting it or asking it was too much for her, and so she really blew up at me, and she told me our relationship would never be repaired. And in that time, I had a ticket to go out for the oldest grandson's birthday, and I didn't feel comfortable staying there. I was supposed to be there for like 8 days, and so I had canceled that, but I went to the birthday party. And so I was trying to establish, these are my boundaries at this point in time. You know, I have to try to protect my heart. And so she tried to get into it again when we were at the birthday party with all the kids around. And I said, no, this is not the time. Let's, you know, focus on this a different time. But she has since, you know, been pulling back, and that I want to say using the kids as leverage, you know. So we used to talk frequently, and I think probably the oldest grandson would ask to call me quite a bit, and so that has dropped off.
Jacqueline, these changes have been shocking, especially after all the help you have just poured out over your daughter and your grandchildren. And I think I can hear in your voice how much this is tearing your heart up. Would you help us understand the concern about your husband? What would you say was the biggest rupture that led to them not wanting him in their home?
Well, he kind of has a habit of saying what's on his mind. You know, he's more blunt, I guess, than I am. I always say that he's the truth and I'm the grace.
And what did he say that most hurt them or upset them?
When the first baby was born, he thought I was too involved in helping out too much, because I still work full time, and we had moved actually closer so that I could help out more, but they were wanting to do a lot of pop-ins and drop-ins because that's kind of how my daughter's job worked in the moment. And so we disagreed about how that should be handled, but he also was very abrupt about how he felt about the whole situation. And so that started the disconnect, but it also, you know, had started when he and I got married, because she was 17 when we got married, and it didn't start out well, the whole dynamic between the two of them. And he never had a daughter, and I don't think he was prepared to deal with it, honestly.
Especially when she's 17 years old, so there's all that, too. So, yeah. Jackie, what would you say?
Well, I'm sorry that this is happening to your family. And I hear that you have set some boundaries and you want to honor your daughter's boundaries. Is this a question about whether or not you should go and provide the child care this year?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, my husband had said, no, you're not going, and Christmas will be ruined here if you go. I won't support it. I won't drop you off at the airport. You know, all of those things. It sounded very manipulative. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the coin, my daughter and son-in-law will be, see, you never really wanted to help us, because that's what they said before when I came out on an emergency, because I had to leave a day earlier than was really convenient for them, because I still work full-time, and I had to get back for a meeting that was in person. I couldn't miss it. I had to be there.
So you go out of your way a lot for them, but yet they don't feel like it's enough. I mean, you leave one day early and they start, see, you're not there for us.
Is your daughter an only child?
No, she has three sisters.
Older or younger?
She's the second one.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. So there's quite a bit of an age gap with the last one, but she essentially grew up with two sisters. She was the middle child of those two. I felt like we always had a close relationship, and it shocked me to hear her say that they thought I never wanted to help them.
Yeah.
That's what came out with this whole her blowing up at me.
Yeah. All right, Jacqueline, we've got to take a break here on New Life Live, but we'll come back in just a little bit to continue our conversation with you. We also want to hear from the rest of you. So call in. We're going to be here in the studio for 2 hours today. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call. And we've got Doctors Alice Benton and Jackie Mack Harris here for both hours to assist you with whatever it is that life has thrown your way. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back on New Life.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Washington, D.C., December 5th through the 7th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
Every man's battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And back to Austin, Texas with Jacqueline. You still with us, Jacqueline?
Yes.
All right. So what do you think of what you've heard so far from Jackie and Alice?
I'm so at a loss of what to do. I mean, this has been going on, really, for a while. It just all blew up on my daughter's side suddenly over the summer, and I just want to be there for the grandkids.
Jacqueline, you know, and I have a question for you. Do you, yeah. you? Well, I think you just answered it now that I just played back what you just said. You just said, I just want to be there for the grandkids. My question to you was, do you want to go?
I don't want my daughter to blow up at me, but I do want to go and be there for the grandkids, because also I feel like if I don't, then I honestly don't know when I'll see them or what access I'll have.
Yeah. Jacqueline, I think you are unfairly in the splash zone of two reactive people who are blaming you and giving you the consequences for something that doesn't belong to you. To hear you never want to help me when we see so much evidence to the contrary. To me, that means that's a projection. You're getting an accusation that mainly belongs to somebody else. Her biological dad, her stepdad, who doesn't like the way she wants to receive help from you. And you're probably the one safe person there, and maybe those two men in her life don't listen to her, but you do. And so you're getting something that mostly doesn't belong to you. Now, granted, we're all imperfect parents, and so there were times that maybe you didn't help in the way she wanted, or, you know, she felt it was insensitive to offer to bring your husband with, to help with these little kids, all these kids. So there may be, there's something to look at there of, you know, daughter, gosh, I'm sorry, I brought up an option that didn't fit for you, and that wasn't being sensitive to how hard relationship has been with your stepdad for all these years. Because the way you describe him, Jacqueline, he's a tough guy to be around sometimes. And when he's upset, he makes some pretty big threats. Christmas is going to be miserable if you go. That's a big threat to hold over your head. Mm-hmm. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's also reacting to something that probably doesn't have to do with you. Whether he feels ashamed of not having good relationship with his stepdaughter, the struggle of that, the confusion of that, there's stuff going on for him, too. So, right. as I say, you might be receiving something that doesn't belong to you. Does that feel like it fits?
It does, very much.
So, one of the ways through that is to go back to your daughter to say, tell me about feeling like I never help you. I want to hear about that. And without defending and without pointing out all the obvious help, you just listen. And oftentimes in those kinds of conversations, we find out it is about stepdad. It is about bio dad. It's not as much about you. But that only comes out through listening. It doesn't come out through defense or justification or explaining. And then I suspect that that emotional unsafety with your husband, I don't think it's just coming out right now. And I think it's why your daughter doesn't feel real safe around him, because I think he can lash out sometimes. And so that's a bigger issue than just this Christmas. That's something that probably needs couples counseling to untangle and to figure out how to get to a better place of communication with him.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder if your husband is kind of demanding about what he believes kids should do and be, and therefore maybe a bit of a bully, and she's saying absolutely not with my kids.
Yeah. Okay. They see him as a bully for sure, and he has. One of the kids was in the hospital at one point when they still lived here, and he had told them that they needed to figure it out and take shifts without asking me to watch the other kid while the one was at the hospital, which is extremely traumatic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not the way I would handle it.
Yeah, but it's as Alice said, you're paying the consequences for it, though, because you've married this person that would handle it that way. And it sounds like the upset she had was that by you asking that question, she felt that you were asking them to bypass the hurt that he probably has not made repair for. Do you feel confident in telling your husband that you believe this is something you need to do, it's something you want to do, and that it's not okay with you that he is making this demand and manipulating you to keep you from going?
I can try to get those words out.
Is that, or are those words true for you?
They are. I just, on the other side of the coin, don't want it to be a difficult visit with my daughter getting upset and, you know, lashing out at me in front of the kids. Yeah. And so
I think you should set that boundary. I think you need to tell her, if you do decide to go, the way you talked to me was not okay, and I won't tolerate it. And if that's what you're going to do, then I won't come back. I want to help. I love my grandchildren. I love the two of you. But I won't be abused by you.
Jacqueline, just for calling in today to New Life Live, we're going to send you a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And we're going to take a quick break here on New Life Live. We'll be back with your phone calls, and you will be first up when we come back. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call. If you're listening today or watching and you really need some help, we can help you today at 1-800-229-3000.
Are you ready for the holidays, or are you dreading the holidays? Well, we have a new webinar, and it's called Healthy Holiday Boundaries. The holiday season often brings joy, but it also can bring pressure, guilt, and emotional overwhelm. Healthy Holiday Boundaries is a 90-minute faith-based webinar. You'll learn how to protect your peace, manage expectations, and set healthy limits without guilt. Whether you're facing family tensions, an overcommitted schedule, or emotional fatigue, this webinar will help you reclaim calm and connection. This isn't just information, it's an invitation.
The Healthy Holidays Boundaries webinar is Wednesday evening, December 10th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. Experience the freedom Christ offers and discover how to give your best yes and your healthiest no this holiday season. 1-800-639-5433.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery, and one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 steps have long been a great help to people in recovery because much of the 12 steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and Dr. Alice Benton had one more piece of advice for our previous caller, Jacqueline. What is that, Alice?
Well, and this is for anybody facing a tough family situation for the holidays. I think there are three helpful steps that we can take, and there's still time to take them before Christmas. When someone is so reactive to us, it's always helpful to start with humility. What have I done to hurt you or upset you? And just be a listener. But at the same time, to set the expectation, I do need to be treated with kindness. And so if you start to yell at me, if you get harsh with me, I may have to celebrate part of the holiday elsewhere. And then follow up with that. If it's an empty threat, you lose the respect of the person. But humility, expectation, and then safety.
Jacqueline, I think you would also benefit from our Healthy Holiday Boundaries webinar, which is coming up next week on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Central Time. You can go find out more about it at newlife.com. It's only $20 for a 90-minute webinar that includes 30 minutes of Q&A. Again, it's called Healthy Holiday Boundaries. In this session, you'll learn how to identify common boundary challenges during the holidays, practical ways to say no without guilt or fear, how to manage expectations with grace and clarity, biblical wisdom for protecting your peace and emotional health, and how to give your best yes while staying true to your values. Again, sign up for this today. It's less than $20, and the webinar is happening on Wednesday.
That piece of doing it without guilt or fear, I think, can feel almost humanly impossible.
Yeah.
But with practice and with enough social support, we can get to that place of having the courage to do it.
For sure. All right, let's talk to Ann in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on WRGN. Harrisburg, Jackie Mac Harris is here. So this is perfect. How you doing, Ann?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call, and Merry Christmas to all.
Oh, thanks. You too, Ann.
Thank you. I have a situation concerning parental alienation. I'll keep it brief. I divorced a cheating man in 2008. I single-handedly raised three daughters into adulthood with college, two marriages, etc. And the second wedding 3 years ago, I was invited to, but I was not included in a response for the rehearsal time, the rehearsal dinner.
Oh.
And they stopped talking to me at that wedding.
Ooh.
And it has been excruciating.
Wow.
And, yeah, I'm trying to do my best, not just because of the holiday, but thank you for letting me get this call through.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Any tips?
So something happened around the second wedding. They invited you but did not include you in the planning. Have there been difficulties over the years? Have your children felt controlled by you?
They felt very pulled by both of us. I was the solid, non-fun parent who provided, and Dad was the person who did the vacations on credit cards, etc.
What I'm trying to get at is, were there conflicts? I understand what you're saying in that you definitely did the best you could with what you had, and I'm sure that they felt torn between the two of you. But yes. I work with a lot of adult children who felt very much like their parents saw, either of their parents saw them as nothing more than an extension of them. And so what the parent wanted for them was what they needed. What the parent thought was best was what they needed to do. And then they become adults, and this translates to they think the parent is trying to control them. So like with my daughters, there have been times where I've said things, and then I learned that they thought that that was a demand. And I'm like, you grown and live in your own house. That's not a demand. That was just a suggestion. You can do whatever you want to do. It won't matter to me one way or the other. It doesn't really affect me, but I was just giving a suggestion. I realized I had to actually say that because they were still reacting to me as though they were children, and then projecting onto me that I was treating them like children. So we had to have that conversation. And so I wonder if something and I've been a part of planning two weddings. Those are stressful. And I remember my mother and I, our experience during my wedding, so, and my sister's two weddings. So it's tough. And so any number of things could happen. But I wonder if at least that second daughter, the second wedding, has difficulty with you, particularly in terms of feeling like you want to control and have your way.
I'm glad you brought that out. Absolutely not, because she planned her own wedding her own way. I let her do her own thing. I wasn't involved unless asked. It was the same with my first daughter, who was married at the young age of 21. They both had the freedom to do what they wanted with and how their wedding was chosen. I've never felt, and I've spoken it all the time, and it was wonderful to hear you speak those words. I was the parent when they were married or when they were dating and having to split themselves among other family members for holiday gatherings.
Yeah.
I would say, let me know what your holiday plans are. When can we get together as a family? Anytime 2 weeks before, 2 weeks after, so that you're not running around crazy.
You've been flexible, Anne. You have tried to give them a lot of space. If we were to ask your daughter and son-in-law why they aren't talking to you, what do you think they would tell us? Even if it's not true, what would they tell us?
I think they are personally having difficulties in their own marriage. The oldest, at least, who was the closest to me, most like me, I was able, believe it or not, to do as the Spirit led me about 2 years ago, and I took a two-hour ride to a place that she visits, usually on a Wednesday, and I went down on a Friday night. The Spirit said, Colleen, go visit Tegan at this thrift store. Lo and behold, I pulled into the parking lot, and my eldest and her two sons, ages 5 and 1.5, were there. And I said, this is remarkable. So I spoke with her. I asked if I could give her a hug. She turned to me and said, why are you ambushing me here?
Oh.
And I pointed to the ceiling. I said, God sent me. Don't you always come to this store on Wednesdays? Why are you here on Friday? And she responded, because my oldest forgot to get his Frisbee. So we just ran in and ran out. And I'm like, that's a God moment. So we left, and I thought that would be the end of it. I got hugs from the boys, screaming, hugging me, kissing me, lovely. And she said, you want to get in the truck and talk? And we talked for 2 minutes. Well, 2 hours, excuse me. And I said two things. I didn't know if I'd get another opportunity. Mm-hmm. At that point, it was a year and a half into to the silent treatment. And I said, can I ask just two questions? I'm not ready to talk to you. And she turned away from me in the driver's seat of the truck, of the van. And I said, did I do something to you that I'm not aware of, that I could take responsibility for? Or have I not done something that you wished I did? Mm-hmm. And her response was, it's not about you, Mom. Mm. And she wouldn't talk anything further.
Oh, that is so mysterious. You did a great attempt to try to get information that you could work with. That ambushing, you're ambushing me. It sounds kind of similar to the last call, that maybe that doesn't belong to you, but it is worth looking into. If your daughters have struggled with the level of involvement you so generously do want to have while still being really flexible, sometimes they may have felt like it was too much, which doesn't really make sense to me on the surface. But if I were you, I would prayerfully consider, how would my daughters ever have felt like I ambushed them? And what we find is that sometimes when we share our spirituality with our children, it can feel like too much for them, even if they're also believers. So your right answer of God sent me, I would wonder if that felt like too much spirituality. Your daughter said, I'm not ready to talk to you. So perhaps they've needed even more space than the flexibility that you have already given them. Because they're not talking to you, we tend to recommend that you get into your own individual counseling and ask that counselor, how could they ever feel ambushed by me? And by telling some of the stories of what you have been through, we tend to find some signs of, well, it doesn't look like ambushing from our perspective, but why did they feel that way? That's where the exploration has to take place.
I want to read something to you. I've been studying this Thomas Theorem, a thought from 1928, and basically it's this statement that if people define situations as real, they're real in their consequences. So it doesn't even matter what happened. She said it's not about you. And so I would take that as true and not make it about you. That is her truth. And so now you can step back and go, okay, well, this isn't about me. Let me pray for my daughter because she's going through something and doesn't feel like I'm a person she can talk to about it. And I would definitely be praying about the spiritual aspect, because a lot of times that's the thing, and they don't think that they can have that conversation with their parent.
And leading with strengths of all the good you have done, it doesn't always help to break through defensiveness. Mm-hmm. So looking for, this is how I was imperfect, that helps more with adult children.
We're going to send you a copy of Doing Life with Your Adult Children from the newlife.com store. We'll be back.
We've been married 33 years. We attended the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. Even though we've read books or attended a few other marriage weekends, this was certainly different and a lot more intensive than initially that we thought.
When you come to Intimacy and Marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
Was not really sure exactly what to expect, but the idea of learning to really understand intimacy was intriguing. We had been in the same patterns of struggle over and over again.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy and Marriage Weekend is February 13th to the 15th in Orange County, California. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I would highly recommend it.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
When you give to New Life, you're helping people receive godly counseling, spiritual insight, and resources during their darkest seasons. And because of a $475,000 matching gift, your giving has twice the impact. Maybe you wanted to give yesterday on Giving Tuesday, but time just slipped away from you. Time does that, doesn't it? You can still give today, of course. Go online to newlife.com/match or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to speak to one of our friendly, easygoing ministry service representatives or text the word match to 28950. Your generosity changes lives. Thank you so much for whatever you can do. We're going to be in the studio for another hour after this one is complete, so keep calling 1-800-229-3000. And right now we're going to go to JC, who is watching us on YouTube in, okay, let's see if I can do this, Bourbonia, Illinois.
Hi.
Is it Bourbon? Hi. How do you say the name of your city?
Well, if you're from the city, it's Bourbonis, but if you move into the little village, it's Bourbonia.
Oh, okay.
So I guess, you owe me $5.
All right.
There
fine.
Was a debate here about how to pronounce it. So thank you for clearing that up.
Yes. Thank you, JC. Of course, I'm out $5 now, but.
Oh, well. It's a French name. They established that village. So.
Yep. Dr. Alice said it's probably French.
Alice, my goodness.
She said it's probably French. So
I got to take my wins.
Yes. She's taking a lap around the table here. This is great. Anyway, JC, how can we help you today?
You know, I enjoy you guys every day.
Oh, thank you.
When I come home from work, that's the first thing I listen to is New Life on TV, on YouTube. Yeah.
We so appreciate that.
You're awesome, JC.
I'm 100% and 1,000% advocate for Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, the people fail.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in a multitude of counsel, there is safety.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So, I am also a hospice chaplain.
Oh.
I'm a professional board certified chaplain, and so I do ministry already. But I run into some complicated cases. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's when I call New Life to get some help with, you know, like understanding the different types of grief.
Yeah.
Because I have a family, you know, and I understand that I have to, you know, I look at everybody's faith tradition that I work with, you know, to be respectful to it. And to, you know, to provide them meaningful care. And so I have a person that's Pentecostal. And so they are giving our team a run for their money. Mm. And so they asked me to step in, you know, so, okay. So I'm, you know, it's a complicated situation. And, you know, they believe in healing, period. Mm. If you don't believe in healing, you're a problem. You know, so, and this is hospice. They're on hospice. Their loved one is on hospice care. And so they're looking for miracles. They're doing everything for a miracle. Everything. And if you're not coming with the miracle mindset, you know, you're the problem. And so this is what our team is facing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's some type of grief also that the caregiver is dealing with, and I went through. It's not situational, right?
Yeah. So what I think you're encountering is this person's faith, right? Their faith tradition is what they're leaning on, and there's fear because they have there's more at stake here than the life of this person. Their belief system is tied to this. And so they're so the grief isn't just this person. Like losing this person it will be awful, but if they believe concretely in the power of healing and that God will heal and he doesn't, then they have to deal with that grief of the loss of that relationship, not just with the person who passed, but it changes their relationship with God. Mm. And so they're fighting against anyone who comes in and isn't about healing because they need it to be so. It's the same. It's the Thomas theorem again. What people believe is real in its consequences. And so for them, this is real. Healing is a real thing, and I believe in spiritual healing. I believe it's a real thing, but also I believe that sometimes God's ultimate healing is in death. And so they may not be ready to hear that. And there are some scriptures, stories that involve people being in the room that didn't really believe and they were laughing and Jesus kicked them out. And so they shouldn't be in there because they're the problem.
Right.
So this caregiver is bringing that into the room with them, which, you know, often people do. They take sometimes things that are parables or stories to illustrate what faith looks like as reality, as true concrete stories, as this is the concrete behavior that we are to use and do at all times and all situations. And so I would, if I were a nurse in this situation, I was a elder care nurse before I became a therapist, I would go with it. Our conversations are healing because, again, I believe the ultimate healing is death. And so that is where we're moving to. So I wouldn't be lying by being in agreement with God can do anything, including healing this body. And that's what we're coming for. Because you're the chaplain, you can bring that. The nursing staff might have a harder time because the nursing staff is coming in and saying, okay, but this is what happens to the body. Mm-hmm. And this is what these medications are there for. And so I can see why they would call you in. But I would just hold space for that belief system. As you said, you know, you want their faith traditions, that meaningful aspect to be a part of their care.
Right, and you're right on with that because I need to inject this. They went in about a couple of weeks ago to do a de-vent. So they did the de-vent. You know, they had to have different disciplines there, like the social worker. I wasn't available. They needed a chaplain. They got another one. Nevertheless, the patient was on a ventilator, so they went to do a de-vent. And they told the family, once we do this event, she's going to die.
Hmm.
Okay, so that was 2 weeks ago. Patient's still living.
Hmm.
So that's one of the things that, that's one of the things the caregiver, which is her sister, brought to my attention. You know?
Yeah. Alice, what were you going to add?
I would just say that coaching the team to take a stance of accepting their beliefs. And accepting doesn't mean I agree and I believe the exact same thing, but I accept it. And then how would you like me to support it? And in their answer, the team may or may not be able to do what the family is asking, but that's the way to get specific. So if you need me to tell you I agree, I can say I accept. I would also hold the understanding that, kind of like Jackie was saying, the miracle will happen, but God will choose the timing of it. And hallelujah that this person lived another 2 weeks. The miracle is already happening.
Mm-hmm. JC, thank you for calling in today to New Life Live. And thank you for the work that you do as a hospice chaplain. If everyone listening and watching can pray for this family that JC called about, but also for JC, because she's got a lot to navigate sometimes with these different families that come in from all different walks of life. And we want to send you a copy of the To Know Him devotional. It's new to the newlife.com store, so check that out. It is just about time. Yeah, we're out of time for this hour, but we're going to be in the studio for another hour. So if you're on hold right now, don't don't hang up. We're going to talk to you when we come back here on New Life Live. Everybody else listening and watching, you're welcome to call in as well. 1-800-229-3000. Guys, don't forget the Everyman's Battle weekend is this weekend. It starts on Friday, and there's still time for you to sign up. You can start off 2026 with sexual integrity. Go to newlife.com to find out all about it. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.